Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Serie A fan. Intellectually Honest Allegri intellectually takes Juve out of the Champions League. But Atalanta and perennial escape artist Roma intellectually keep their European dreams alive. We'll discuss all the midweek action and take a look at the weekend ahead as the season heads into the home straight in this episode of Scudetto. Hello and welcome to the show. Another mixed week for Italian clubs in Europe and another week in which we've had further twists in the race for the title. We'll get into all of that shortly, but Boaz, welcome and thanks for joining us. I understand it was the Jewish holiday of Purim this week. Did you dress up for it?
It was indeed, and it was a good excuse to go to the office wearing a onesie. And in addition, I purchased a quite expensive prince costume, and I never wore it, so the joke's on me.
Oh, why didn't you wear it?
It's quite big, it's quite there's quite a lot of elements to it, and to carry it into work every day seemed a bit OTT, and then I figured that there would be other occasions, but the holiday's been and gone, so next year maybe.
Sad times. And have you got a beer for us this week?
I do indeed. I've got Beavertown Lupuloid, which is a IPA 6.7%, quite a strong one. And just before we go off, you may remember last week I mentioned my neighbors and their annoying habits regarding rubbish bags outside the door. Well,
yes.
The day the show went live, there was another bag outside the door for several days. So I think there might be listeners. Sorry, yeah, guys.
They take offense to being publicly shamed.
Possibly.
Great. I've also got a Beavertown. I'm just back in the neck oils. I've kind of been a bit unimaginative, but you know, it's just so good. And yeah. Another good week. Yeah, I don't have any big stories like you do. So I guess we better talk about the football. And it's sad to start on a negative note, but I think it's undoubtedly the biggest story of the week. A late collapse from Juve against Villarreal sees Italy's last remaining Champions League representative bow out with a whimper. Boaz, hugely disappointing for Italian football, really, this. After the encouraging display Inter put on against Liverpool last week, Unai Emery basically out Allegri in this one, didn't he? A tough watch.
Yeah, it was really surprising considering what was at stake, and Juventus' approach was very disappointing.
And can we talk about Allegri's post-match interview, which was bizarre, to say the least? He seemed very, very irritated and accused people who expected more from this Juve of being intellectually dishonest. I mean, they're by far and away the highest spending club in the league, and they're currently fourth, albeit they've been on a good run of results. Villarreal are seventh in La Liga. Boaz, surely we should all expect more from Juve.
Yeah, and in addition, they went out and splashed 70 million on a top striker, but clearly they didn't consider who was supposed to set up this top striker. Vlahovic was ostensibly brought in to challenge for the Champions League because their league position is more or less cemented whether they had him or not. And essentially the purchase has not paid dividends.
Mm. I mean, they do have problems in midfield. I think you mentioned who's gonna serve Vlahovic. But obviously McKennie out, who had been kind of given something that they didn't have from elsewhere. It's kind of difficult really to analyze this. I just kind of feel like I feel like this is all on Allegri, this result. I don't know if you agree. They just I think they should have taken more from the first game, really, when you look at it over the two legs. And in the second game, they looked so comfortable the whole time, but they just absolutely refused to force the issue. And I don't know if you agree with me, but I kind of feel like they kind of deserved it in the end.
So I think you're right in saying that the method of the defeat was on Allegri. However, you have to consider that this is the fourth time that Juve exit early in the Champions League, and it's under three different coaches. And each time it's been against clubs that Juventus have been the favorites on paper at the very least. So this is becoming kind of systematic, and maybe it shows, it says more about Juve's place in the larger football ecosystem. I'm thinking about you, Super League clubs over there.
Yeah.
But also maybe just Italian clubs or Juventus specifically do not strike fear in the opponent's hearts right now.
Yeah, I mean, is the, for me, I don't know if you agree with me, but is the most damning thing not the fact that we really don't know what Juve's identity is? I mean, what are they? They're not a great counter-attacking side, as you said. They don't have anyone to really serve Vlahovic. They're not a high-pressing team. They just seem to bore their opponents into submission, don't they?
Yeah, and for the past few seasons, they've relied on a superstar or two to pull them out of a difficult situation. And now that the aforementioned superstar has left, and to be fair, he's not doing particularly well at Manchester United, but suddenly there's no one really directly to blame. And of course, missing players like Chiesa for this game, etc., is a big loss, but Juventus should be winning against Villarreal at home, regardless of who's on the pitch.
Absolutely. Another game that they should be winning, and we actually expect them to do so, is Salernitana, who are next up for them in Serie A. And then, of course, the big game against Inter after the international break. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Before we move on, maybe we should spend a couple of words about Villarreal themselves, because although this is obviously a Serie A podcast, we have to say that Villarreal were very well organized and held the ball fantastically and knew when to strike at the right time, kind of like a boxer, you know. They held back for a while and then went on the counter. And while the 3-0 result, I think we both agree, is a little bit harsh on Juventus, overall, Villarreal have no shame in this victory and probably deserved it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think I said that Juve were comfortable in this game, but I mean, if you look at the balance of the chances, you certainly can't begrudge Villarreal. They had a game plan and they executed it far better than Juve, whatever Juve's game plan actually was. But in more positive European news, Buzz, let's talk about that game tonight. Bayer Leverkusen 0, Atalanta 1. Atalanta's Jekyll and Hyde spell continues with another big win tonight in Europe to put them through to the quarterfinals of the Europa League. Across both ties, it was really, really enjoyable, just top-quality entertainment. Atalanta probably should have had more out of the first game, and I would imagine Bayer Leverkusen will probably feel a bit hard done by after a really, really great second-half performance tonight that they put in to lose 1-0 and 4-2 on aggregate to Atalanta. But it's a big, big win for Atalanta and an opportunity for La Dea to reach the semi-finals of European competition for the first time since 1988. When they lost to Mechelen in the semi-final of the Cup Winners' Cup. Boaz, some big teams still in the Europa League, most notably Barca, obviously, Lyon still in that tournament as well. But are we getting to the stage where winning this thing becomes a priority for Gasperini?
I think it's definitely a big deal for Atalanta for two reasons. Firstly, because as we all know, the Europa League gets you an automatic bye into the Champions League. And Atalanta's current position in the league does not look particularly good versus Juventus. But more specifically, I think this is something that we've mentioned a few times over the past few years, that Atalanta have been playing some fantastic football. They've been achieving great results, but ultimately they have no silverware to show for this period. And possibly targeting this Europa League could be the one.
Yeah, and potentially only, five games away? So maybe more achievable than making up that point differential to Juventus.
And you mentioned Barcelona and Lyon, but I have to say that it's that competition is a real hodgepodge of like great football manager names, like West Ham, Rangers,
yeah.
Frankfurt, and Leipzig. So I mean, it's and Braga, sorry. So it's yeah. I think it's quite an interesting competition and maybe a little bit less obvious than the Champions League.
Yeah, yeah. I really think the changes have improved it this year. I think the quality of teams getting to the final stage has, you know, really, really improved the kind of glitz of the Europa League. But, I mean, we've spoken about the great result that Atalanta had. I guess the Hyde element, if European football is the Jekyll, then the Hyde element has been Serie A in recent weeks. I should probably discuss that predictable draw against Genoa, who are now officially incapable of winning or losing a game. Disappointing result for Atalanta from their perspective. I guess for Genoa as well, it doesn't really do them much good considering where they are. But for Atalanta, obviously that further complicates their chances of finishing in the top four, as we just mentioned. But as you said last week, Boaz, those injuries and suspensions are really stretching Atalanta's smaller squad. The game at the weekend, they started without De Roon, who was suspended, obviously, for his dishonourable mention. And Freuler was rested. And by the end tonight as well, they really did look knackered. So hopefully they come back refreshed a bit from the international break. But seeing as we're speaking about the league, Boaz, let's speak about probably the big story in the league this week. With Milan beating Empoli 1-0, a great week on paper for Milan, who for the first time in ages actually have the Scudetto in their own hands, or in other words, they're not kind of relying on Inter dropping points. They're actually in front, even accounting for the games that Inter have in hand, or the game that Inter have in hand. But Boaz, I understand, far from convincing in this game against Empoli.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that Milan were far from convincing, but I would say that the team needs to learn to kill these games. So far this season, on a few occasions, I can think of Spezia and Salernitana, for example. Milan scored early and then failed to score the second goal and were kind of pipped towards the end. And on this occasion, they actually managed to hold on, and Empoli didn't really create too much. But at the same time, it wasn't champagne football. But as the old saying goes, if you can win ugly, then it's all good. I'm sure yeah. That's not the saying, but I've kind of bastardized it.
Well, the cliche being that if you're gonna win titles, then you have to be able to win ugly as well, I guess. But Boaz, Cagliari away this weekend. They've been in great form before losing to Lazio and obviously Spezia. At the weekend, in two consecutive games, a potential banana skin. This one,
I'm unsure of what I should say next, because last time I spoke about statistics specifically to Inter versus Torino, I ended up jinxing the Inter, which is personally fine for me. But if you look at Cagliari's last 36 games against Milan, they've only won one, so it's not the best run. And Milan have scored on the past 11 games away at Cagliari. So on paper, at least, I would hope that Milan can continue this run of form. And the rumors have it that Zlatan will be back for this one. He scored 8 in his last 7 games against Cagliari. So obviously one of his favorite adversaries. But Cagliari will not be an easy game, particularly as we keep mentioning the fact that they're kind of fighting relegation. Although the results from the past week will definitely not help them.
Yeah, yeah. I note, Boaz, that you're now constantly aware of the Scudetto curse, and
I don't know
perhaps
where
you can weaponize that.
I feel like exactly I'm trying to weaponize it against my adversaries while not stepping on any banana skins myself.
Yeah, yeah, right. So talking about those adversaries, Inter Fiorentina, and obviously the big Rome derby. Those are the big games this weekend, I think. But we'll start with Inter Fiorentina. I mean, let's talk about the Torino game first, which you just mentioned there. There was that shocking mistake with the officials where the referee and VAR both missed an obvious, like clear as day penalty by Ranocchia and Belotti. Is it too partisan to say Torino were robbed here, Boaz?
I think if you look at the raw statistics of the game, perhaps the draw is the most fair outcome. But then games are often decided by episodes, and had Torino gone 2-0 ahead, I think it would have been very hard for Inter to come back. I really don't understand what happened with this episode. I don't even know how the referee missed it on the pitch, but then for it to go to VAR and them to also deciding that this is not a penalty is baffling. I don't want to say that there is some sort of conspiracy or something like that, but some severe ineptitude at their job, that's for sure. And they've all been banned for a few games as a result, and justifiably so. But at the same time, Torino aren't going to get these points back, and Inter are, albeit 1 point closer to Milan, but still, it's a point's a point.
Yeah, and quite aside from the what was a disappointing result of the weekend for Inter, despite the fact that they kind of claimed that late equalizer. We thought they'd turned the corner after the Liverpool game, but in Serie A, they've only won one league game since the start of February. After I say this, they'll probably obviously demolish Fiorentina thanks to the Scudetto curse, and then edge a nervy win against Juve. But it's got to the point where they can't afford to drop points anymore, isn't it? Hasn't it?
They definitely need to get a few wins under the belt, if only to get to the spirit they had earlier in the season. But they're definitely going through some problems. And I thought it was quite bizarre that Inzaghi mentioned that he was kind of didn't bring Deco on, partly thinking about the game against Turin. And then for them to then not go and win the games against Turin, and for Deco to have a pretty lackluster game, albeit he did set up the goal, shows that maybe Inzaghi's in-game changes and his planning is not as good as it was earlier in the season.
Yeah, maybe. They do seem to have hit just this bad run of form at exactly the wrong time, don't they? But we'll see. I mean, there's still plenty of twists and turns to come, I'm sure. But from Fiorentina's point of view going into this game, they've also kind of hit some patchy form in recent weeks. Obviously, not as bad as Inter's has been. So I guess it depends which Fiorentina show up. But some doubts about whether Jack Bonaventura will be fit for this game, which could actually lead to Duncan being drafted into the starting lineup.
Duncan, who always starts in my first name 11 team.
Yeah, Buzz, any thoughts about Fiorentina going into this? Are you suspecting Inter will come away with the 3 points?
I think that just to get that Scudetto curse running, Inter have won 16 of their last 19 home games against Fiorentina, so not the greatest records for the Florence side. And while, especially the game last year, Fiorentina gave Inter a good game and probably didn't deserve the final outcome. But this year's Fiorentina are maybe a slightly different vintage. And the victory against Bologna over the weekend was maybe not the prettiest football shown, but still showed some gritty performances. So
yeah,
especially with Inter in their current form, I wouldn't bet against Fiorentina, but it's one of those games that for me could go either way.
Yeah. Right. Let's talk about the bigger game really for the weekend ahead. Roma Lazio, the Rome Derby. Roma go into the game yet again off of the back of a trademark last minute lifeline, drawing 1-1 against Vitesse to go through to the quarterfinals of the Conference League, 2-1 on aggregate. But let's
nine lives.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think either of us, I know neither of us saw the end of this game, but I didn't get a chance to watch this game after the Atalanta one. So
we didn't watch it, but we both said the same thing. Roma probably scored a very late goal we logged into the score site, and of course they had.
Yeah, it's become very predictable, hasn't it? But right, so looking ahead to the derby, strangely, I say strangely because we haven't really spoken about them that much, but quietly, probably the two informed sides in Serie A, maybe aside from Juve, Lazio have won their last two and only lost one in the league since the 9th of January. And obviously that defeat was 2-1 to Napoli a few weeks ago. And last gasp specialists, Roma, on the other hand, undefeated in the league since that same date, the 9th of January. It's going to be a tasty one, this, isn't it, Buzz?
Yeah, definitely. And it's a real clash of footballing cultures. We pretty much made the same intro in the first game and it was fireworks. And the return leg, there will be some rust for both teams. So it'll be interesting to see. Lazio have been on a great defensive run as well, it has to be said. They've kept 6 clean sheets after their last 8 games. And they're in that particular statistic, they're only second to Real Sociedad in the whole of Europe. So whereas Roma are like kind of conceding a lot of goals, but scoring a few more on the other side. Yeah, it's always an exciting game.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's also a fair bit of history between Sarri and Mourinho going back to their time in the Premier League. I believe you've also dug out a good stat about the managers ahead of this one, Buzz.
Yeah, so Lazio have not won back-to-back derbies since 2012, and they haven't beaten Roma away since 2017. But crucially, should Lazio win this game, Sarri would be the first manager since 1998, a certain Sven-Goran Eriksson, to win back-to-back derbies. And should Roma lose this, Mourinho would be the first coach in 10 years to lose his first two derbies. So there is also that statistic at stake.
Yeah, great. Well, I mean, I'll definitely be tuning in for that one, I think.
It's always a good laugh. And you may remember that Pedro scored in the first game, which was kind of amusing.
Great. Okay. I think that's it for kind of the main talking points of this week. So we'll move on to our best of the rest section, perhaps.
Maybe we want to show some love for Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, whose 17 goals participated in is the most for a midfielder in Serie A. He'll be crucial in the derby.
Yeah, great player. Right, okay, let's move on to best of the rest now, starting with the news that broke today on Thursday as we record that Manuel Locatelli has tested positive for COVID, which puts his place in the Italy squad for the World Cup playoffs in serious jeopardy. Serie A has ruled that Verona will have to play their upcoming home game against Genoa with their curva empty after the ultras' racist behaviour against Napoli. Kessié has reportedly agreed a contract to sign for Barca in the summer, and Milan continue to be linked with Renato Sanchez as a possible replacement, as well as Divock Origi as well as an option up top. Inter apparently struggling to tie down a deal to bring Scamacca to the club. That's kind of been a bit of an ongoing saga, but have reportedly made initial contact about signing Sebastian Haller from Ajax.
They should wait a few more months to see what the fallout from the Chelsea situation. They might be able to get Lukaku back for free.
Yeah, well, I think that's something that's kind of been doing the rounds in the Italian media as well, but who knows? I think what I read in the Gazzetta was that there was talk about him coming back on loan. But I mean, what a disaster that would have proved to be for Chelsea, the amount they spent on him to bring him back.
To be honest, I think it would be a disaster for all parties involved except for Inter, who would get a player back who would be back with his tail between his legs slightly.
Yeah, exactly. Just finally in this section, Atalanta technical director Giovanni Sartori, the man who has masterminded their transfer dealings over the last 8 years, is to leave the club at the end of the season. Reportedly, a bit of tension, or quite a lot of tension, obviously, between him and Gasperini, and a lot of clubs, I think, lining up to bring him in. So hopefully not, but this could be the end of this great era for Atalanta. Big news, I would say. Right, let's move on to good week, bad week. Boaz, quite a few contenders for good week, I think. Napoli bouncing back from the Milan defeat by beating Verona 2-1 away from home, possibly. Or Spezia beating Cagliari 2-0 to move 7 points clear of the relegation zone. I think those are probably the two biggest contenders. Or Milan, I guess. We have to keep them in there for extending their lead. But, I mean, who would your vote go to?
I mean, I think that the Napoli victory against Verona was particularly impressive, both in the manner they played, but also because Verona are a hard team to play against. But maybe the Spezia result has the most influence on the league standings and the possible final positions.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Spezia getting good week. And bad week, yeah, again, a lot of contenders for this. Sassuolo drawing to Salernitana, bit of a disappointing result from them. Inter scraping a draw against Torino. or Cagliari for that matter, that for that Spezia result that we've just spoken about. I think that pretty much. Oh, you wanted to, yeah, you wanted to kind of contemplate Samp possibly for losing to Juve. It's now three defeats in a row for Samp. Who gets your vote?
I mean, there is no shame in losing to Juventus, although this particular vintage of Juventus is not that tasty, let's say. But Sampdoria contrived to miss a penalty, and also they pretty much made life much easier for Juventus than it should have been, scoring an own goal amongst many other errors. And Giampaolo, who I've been quite critical about over the years, continues to show that I'm sorry, but he's not on this level. He's a naive tactician. You know, you need to play to the strengths of the players you have.
Mm, so you're going bad week, Samp.
The other big candidate for me is Cagliari, because they seem to have been on a good run. And of course, they lost to Lazio last week, but there's no shame in losing to Lazio. But the game against Spezia was a scontro diretto, and you'd expect them to win it. But having given Spezia the good week, I'm not sure if we're legally allowed to give Cagliari the bad week.
Okay, let's give it to Samp then. So good week Spezia, bad week Samp. And Boaz, it's time for your theme tune, and also known as the Italian national anthem, and Keeping Up with the Italians.
It's a short one this week. We have Rodolfo Vanoli is the new coach at FC Dinamo Tirana over in Albania, and Giacomo Favero scored his first goal in the Divelli Premier League in the Maldives, earning his club 3 points along the way. Michele Bon won his first game in charge of Zimbru Chișinău in the Moldovan top division. The club had previously gone 6 consecutive games without winning, so they hired him, and he's got a 100% record so far. And lastly, look this up. Apparently, Kenny, you saying that this won't qualify for your goal of the week challenge because it wasn't scored in Serie A or by a player who plays for the Italian team.
Yeah.
However, Vincenzo Grifo scored a masterful free kick, getting a brace along the way for Freiburg's victory, which returns the club to the top 4 positions in Germany. Lovely free kick. Look it up on YouTube, please.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And yeah, I mean, I think we already have our Keeping Up with the Italians thing.
Because the Morata challenge does expand outside of our borders. But so I don't know.
It does, but it tends to involve games that involve Italian clubs.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I think that discussion's over, and we should move on to the honorable and dishonorable mentions for this week. I'm going to start with a dishonorable to myself, actually. I'm not sure if this has ever been done before, but I'm giving myself a dishonorable mention for overlooking Lautaro's goal against Liverpool last week in my goals honorable section. I think that really should have won it, because it was a great goal. And I apologize. I apologize to Inter fans and to Lautaro, who I'm sure is a fan of the show. Boaz, you've got a dishonorable for, and it is going to Verona, or to Verona fans.
So you mentioned earlier that their curva is going to be shot for the next home game, but this is for chants and banners they displayed inside the stadium. But for me, the biggest disgrace was the banner they displayed outside the stadium, which has now made the rounds on social media. But for those who haven't seen it, they essentially posted the coordinates for Naples with a Russian map and a Ukrainian map, essentially saying, why don't you bomb Naples instead? Now, it's not particularly funny to suggest to bomb a major city in your own country. But also, given the situation in Ukraine, between Russia and Ukraine, it's even less, it's even more in poor taste. And to be honest, I don't know what goes through these people's heads. Like, football is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be about passion. Yeah, support your team. Yeah, boo the other team. Get them. But this becomes very close to violence. And some people will say, oh, it's just banter, or I don't know what they'll label it. But to me, it's, as I said, it's in horrible poor taste, and it's disgraceful.
Yeah, fully agree. I mean, it just feels like it's just hate, and so many different layers of hate for hate's sake. Hatred, sorry.
And you consider that presumably there are some players born in or around Naples who play for Verona, or who may have played for Verona in the past. There's also presumably people from Naples who live in Verona or work in Verona. It's just, it's not a good show. And I think particularly considering, we'll get onto it perhaps, but considering the fact that Italy are playing next week, the country should, there should be more unity in the country, and disgraceful.
Yeah, agreed. Right, let's just bring the tone up a little bit. I'm giving an honourable mention to Aaron Hickey for his first call-up to the Scotland senior squad at 19 years of age for the upcoming friendly against Poland. Obviously, Scotland were supposed to be playing against Ukraine, but that game has been postponed for obvious reasons. But yeah, I mean, Hickey's going to be up against it with Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson, the other left backs in that squad. And I remember a while back when he was asked this question about whether he was expecting a call up, he mentioned that he can play at right back as well. So.
And to add extra credit to Hickey, he is learning from one of the best wing backs that the game has ever seen. So I'm sure Siniša Mihajlović will have imprinted some ideas on Hickey.
Yeah. Well, I think he has developed a lot in his time at Bologna. But right, Boaz, you've got an honourable for Carlo Ancelotti.
Carlo Ancelotti's Real Madrid went 10 points clear in the Champions League. And when he was asked by a journalist whether this meant that the Liga was definitely in Madrid's hands, he said something along the lines of, I didn't think we'd lose a Champions League when we were 3-0 up.
Yeah, I think someone said to him, how can you lose the Liga if you're leading by 10 points with 10 games left? And he said, how can you lose a Champions League game when you're 3-0 up?
And I like the fact that Carlo is still traumatized by this experience, because as a fan, I still occasionally wake up in a cold sweat and think about that horrible final.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I woke up, actually, a story. I was in Australia visiting my grandfather for his 80th birthday. And I woke up and I remember, I think it was 3-0 at halftime. And I remember thinking, if this doesn't, it was like 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning or something. And I thought, if this game doesn't become interesting pretty quickly, then I'm just going to go back to bed. And obviously, it did become very interesting. So, yeah. But anyway, moving on, I've got an honourable for... Oh, it's my goals honourable. Right. So I'm still undecided, actually, at the time we go to record, whether to give an honourable to Traore for his goal that puts Sassuolo 2-1 up against Salernitana, or whether to go with a late entrant, which is Boga's goal tonight, the winner for Atalanta against Bayer Leverkusen. Both of them great individual goals. I think I'm going to go for Traore, even though Boga's, you know, he picked the ball up in his own half, ran three quarters of the length of the field. But the reason I think I'm going to go for Traore is because I think the Bayer Leverkusen defenders were just so knackered by that point in the game.
It looked like they were running in slow motion.
Yeah, exactly.
And Boga had come on quite late in the game, so he was particularly fresh. It was a little bit harsh on them to have to play against this guy who was clearly much faster than them on a normal day, but definitely much faster when he's only playing about 20 minutes.
Yeah, but nonetheless, a sensational goal by Boga. But I'm going to give my goals honourable to Traore for his goal that puts Sassuolo 2-1 up against Salernitana. Boaz, dishonourable mention for Gareth Southgate.
Yeah, Gareth Southgate continues to omit Tomori from his England slide, preferring to pick Harry Maguire instead. This is not a Premier League podcast, so I won't get into Harry Maguire's form. That being said, I'm sure that Southgate said that he's going to pick players depending on how well they play, and few defenders are playing better than Tomori in the whole of Europe. And as I said, I'm not going to get into Maguire's in form, but he's been pretty shocking. So, it's just bizarre. And I hope that this doesn't make Tomori think maybe I need to return to England for the international manager to see me more, but rather continue enjoying his Italian experience and proving him wrong.
Yeah, and perhaps putting together a Champions League run that extends beyond the last 16.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Right. It's my final honourable mention for the show. And it's going to Ciro Immobile for becoming Lazio's all-time top goal scorer in Serie A after his penalty against Venezia, moving past Silvio Piola. He was already the top goal scorer in all competitions. But obviously, when Piola was playing, there were less European action, or no European action, I believe. But yeah, another record for Ciro Immobile. So honorable mention for him.
If he could only score for the Azzurri.
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll be doing that next week, Buzz. Right, okay, on that note, I think that's us come to the end. That's all we've got time for. So as ever, please do subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your audio. Thank you very much for listening, as always. And until next week, enjoy the football. La Roma è campione d'Italia per la stagione 2000-2001. Il titolo del 2008, l'Inter è campione d'Italia, 16° scudetto per la squadra nerazzurra. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.